Welcome to church. Whenever you're engaging online, for those of you on the online campus, whatever day of the week, whatever time, we are glad that you are here as we engage one another in worship and in the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For those of you in the room today, good to have you here, and it's wonderful to share together in this Christmas season. We're beginning a message series today that we're simply calling Simply Christmas. You were thinking about, well, what do we call this series we head in? And we realized that, you know, this year of COVID-19 has simplified a lot of things, hasn't it? A lot of things have gotten complex, but at the same time, because of all the things that have gone on, we've had to learn to live more simply and do some things in our lives less that we used to do. You know, as you see over here in the front, we have a bar of candles. And these candles represent the season that we're in right now called Advent. And the season of Advent literally means a preparation of our hearts for Jesus. So each week we light another candle in this line to remind us that we're getting closer and closer to Christmas, where Jesus Christ comes as the light of the world. So that's the imagery that we want you to grab hold of. So as you're gathered in worship, you're watching online, you can do this at home. In fact, the children's ministry has been giving out Advent candles and Advent opportunities for study with a lot of the children's families. If that's something that you want, or you didn't get one, or they didn't come to your home, or you weren't able, contact us. We'd love to have you a part of that and being able to study along with others who are sharing together in this Advent season. A part of that preparation is our own invitation. How are we preparing our hearts for the Lord Jesus about this relationship? And we want to encourage you, invite others to be a part. If you're here today and it's meaningful for you, invite somebody else to join you. We're about people knowing Jesus. If you're online, invite other people. Like and share and engage your friends and neighbors to be a part of sharing in this word with you. It's a powerful time. Now, as I mentioned, in this time of COVID, things have gotten a little simpler. And if you're like me, things can fill our schedules really quickly, and it can cause us to think that more is actually more, when sometimes less is actually more. I know for me, I love to cook. I'm not one that likes to open up a cookbook and cook. I like to kind of begin to fix something that I just figure out as I go. Now, that's brought a few cooking disasters. And one thing I've learned along the way, that actually opening up the spice cabinet and seeing what's interesting and putting it in there doesn't necessarily mean that more is good. Sometimes it can just come out like something that doesn't taste very well. And we can get in that place in our lives. And one thing COVID has done, when it removed a lot of the ball games, it removed a lot of the activities, it forced everybody to begin to move back into their homes. When you were traveling a lot, now you're in your home and you're engaging people online and having Zoom meetings or whatever form of communication you were doing. And life just got a little bit simpler. Now I understand that it also got a little more complex. The struggles happen in that time because families haven't necessarily been used to spending time together. You haven't been used to having your kids under your feet 24/7. You didn't have all the ball games to go, and people were helping to raise up your kids. Now it's up to you. And you weren't always being able to come to the church or the community groups that were a part of it. So life got a little bit fragile, and tensions rise, and counseling and support as engagement became a heartbeat of the church and how we live with one another and helping each other walk in these times. But one thing we learned to value perhaps more logistically, I could say, was relationships. It's not that we didn't value relationships. We were just flung into them. We were flung into being more together. And what do I do with my spouse now 24/7? Or we're forced into engaging with our kids and sitting around the dinner tables and the conversations at night in ways that we didn't have time to do it before. And we're asking, well, what do we do now? Relationships begin to rise in their importance because they're right in front of us. But then we realize that, some relationships we can't connect with. We have people that we care about that are in nursing homes or care communities or hospitals. We can't go visit them. We begin to look through glass windows, and we begin to value relationships differently. And we struggled in those because it brought levels of isolation. You know, there were literally deaths that were happening because of loneliness, not just COVID. And we begin to say, man, boy, if I could have just spent more time with this aunt or this uncle or this grandparent or my father or my mother, because we felt the separations and we begin to value relationship even more. In no time in the history of this church, in 25 years that we've been here and I've been leading this congregation, have I ever seen the amount of movement as I have seen in 2020. And I'm talking about the kind of movement where you sell a house and you go somewhere else. And it's always been in the Charlotte region a lot of transferring. People come and people go. I always call this a discipleship hub. Come within our being. Get involved in a community group. We will train you and release you because God may call you somewhere else soon. And we want you to be growing. If your stop is here for a while, we want you to be growing in Christ so you are living out the gospel in the places he's calling you to be. But this year has been really interesting. We've had people move to be near their kids or their relationships here in Charlotte. But we've also had a high number of people that have sold their homes to go be with their families who are in Texas or California or Myrtle Beach or in the mountains or somewhere else. It's been an unusual time. Why? Because people begin to say, I really value my family. And it's making me think, do I want to work a long way away from them? I can work anywhere now, so why don't I move? So it makes me think about this year how much we valued relationships. And as I begin to think about this Christmas, can we be that simple to maybe invest a little more in valuing this relationship, this baby in a manger, without all the distractions perhaps? Now, I know there's a whole lot of competing events, and I've taken my parents out who are living with us right now, and we've gone out several times, and we'll continue to go out and look at the lights. And yes, I'm aware that we broke all sales on Black Friday and on Monday, on Cyber Monday. You know, the sales were through the roof. That there's a lot of competing factors still to investing in relationships. But I want you to grasp, as this year you have invested in relationship with one another, and you've come maybe to know one another more and more deeply, what about Jesus? The one God who left the throne rooms of heaven, who moved, who changed locations to be with us. I want to know what he's all about. And I want to know his heart for me. Why did he do this? Why does it matter for me? I mean, wasn't God comfortable in heaven? Well, didn't he have all things? Why would he come in the midst of this pandemic? And I'm not talking about COVID-19. I'm talking about sin. That when God looks at the world, we got another pandemic going. And that's sin. That's the brokenness. That's the underlying aspect by which the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Why did God look at this world covered in sin and brokenness and shame and the struggle in our relationships and our divisions and say, I'm going to lean the throne rooms of heaven and I'm going to break in the midst of that pandemic and I'm going to put on me all the sins of the world and I'm going to carry it to the cross. But I'm going to start as a baby in a manger in what we call Emmanuel. That big word that simply means God with us. That we would understand this theological term called the incarnation, which literally means God took on flesh. See, if the world could have known God just as the God of heavens, why would Jesus have needed to come? But we couldn't. The struggle was we couldn't have this deep relationship with God, but God wanted a deep relationship with us. After all, he created you in his own image. And therefore he comes as a baby in a manger to love us and to care for us and for us to know him because he already knows us. You know, if we were to sum up simply Christmas, it's this. God left the throne room of heaven and came to be with us through the person of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. Yet it's that complex. Think for a moment of Mary and Joseph on that first night, on that first Christmas. There were no strings of lights that people could go see. There was just Mary and Joseph in a cave with a manger, which was a feeding trough for the animals, and a baby. Now, it's always interesting, at least what I've noticed, when you're in a crowd or in a room where you've gathered people together and there's someone with a baby, what takes the attention of the room? The baby. Everybody starts looking at the baby. Everybody starts talking about the baby. All the conversation begins to be about the baby. Well, it's kind of interesting. You can find it with puppies, too. But what do you think they were talking about? The baby. Here's Mary and Joseph. What's the center of attention? The baby. But what could they be imagining? What might have been the conversations coming into their mind? Think back when Mary had the first conversation with the angel. It went like this in Luke 1, verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. He was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You know, sometimes we can be afraid of God because of what's in our own heart or what might be our future or what we're afraid of to the moment or what we've done, or what we think our punishment might be. But that's not what God's thinking. God's thinking he wants to be with you. He wants to save you. He wants to discover you. He wants you to know him. Mary, the sign of this angel, of course there would be fear. Here's this heavenly being speaking to her. And he says, don't be afraid. God has favor with you. God loves you. And he wants to do something in you. He's not here to judge you. He's here to save you. He's here to show you the impact that you will have in the world. Take that one in for yourself. And in verse 31, it goes on, it says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of our father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. What was clear to Mary on that day is this Jesus was God. That what's happening in her was God was making a way to leave the throne room of heaven, the incarnation, and that she would carry the very expression of God himself. That he would be a ruler, and he would have a throne, and it wouldn't be a throne that would come and go like they know of kings. It would be a throne and a kingship and an authority that would reign forever. So on that first Christmas long ago, people were traveling. But they weren't traveling to go be with their relatives. They were traveling to go back because Caesar had declared a census. And that means they would have to go back to their original birthplace or their heritage place to be counted for the tax. Censuses aren't uncommon. We have census today. And why do we have a census? We have a census to be counted so that the government will know what taxation to put on particular areas and also what taxes your area will receive. Okay? It's by numbers. Will you receive resources for hospitalization or goods or care or housing or whatever? Determines what the census is in your area, determines the taxes you'll get. Well, in that day, it was determining the taxation of people. So here they go. This long journey, 80, 90 miles by foot or donkey to a little village that was now overcrowded because it was still a little village and more people over the centuries had come from Bethlehem than currently lived there. So there's no room and a place to stay adequately, but there were caves and barns in the area by which the cattle would stay and the shepherds would live, so they found a comfortable, quiet place. And there they gave birth. Jesus. And Mary pondered these things in her heart. Mary and Joseph had conversation. They began an intimate relationship with God. trying to figure out what it would all be about. And then in comes these shepherds. They had had a different experience. For them, there was no mistaking that this Jesus was God, because for them, out in the fields, they got the light show. You ever been to those homes where they've got all the lights and you tune into a radio station and the lights change and everything and you get the music going behind it? You see, the shepherds got the whole light show. The angels are singing, the heavenly host, and the light is blazing, and it's incredible. And they come off this experience, and they know, like Mary, this is a miraculous moment. That whatever's going on in Bethlehem that they didn't know was of God. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 15, it goes on. It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing. This thing. What thing? Let's see this wonder. Let's see this miraculous move of God that has happened. So they went. They made the journey. And they showed up in Bethlehem. And there was Mary and Joseph and the baby. So what I encourage you, like them, will you make the move? Will you value the relationship enough to draw closer through all the distractions that you and I will have, all the big sales and the pretty lights and all the things that are really awesome about Christmas? Will you carve out enough to just be you and your family and Jesus? What will you talk about when nothing else distracts you? Can you find the simple moment to say this relationship, this God, is coming for me? You know, relationships are funny. And they're quite complex, aren't they? Do we ever really get to know one another? What husband or wife out there could honestly say, I know my husband or my wife through and through? I know I've been married to Marilyn now for 35 years. I discover something new every day. Oh, I heard that. That was for, can we all say that together? Oh. Sometimes it's just by fault. I often tell couples when I'm counseling and they're struggling, I says, tell me a little bit about when you met. What kind of research and study did you do to win this person in your life? And when did you stop schooling? When did you stop looking deep to grow more and more in this beautiful relationship God gave you? At what point did that stop? At what point did it stop with you and God? At what point did everything else get in the way of the growing relationship that God wants you to have with Him? What were all the distractions that you showed up one day and said, well, let me put the manger up. Oh, Christmas is over. Let me take the manger away. That we stopped actually schooling this God who left the throne of heaven to save you from a sin pandemic. Could we go back there? You know, in Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes, I would say, his Christmas story, and it goes like this. It says, have this mind among yourselves. Well, we got to know who God is first, right? Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So there's something we can learn about the mind of God as we learn about Jesus. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven and on earth, and get this, under the earth. That means in heaven and on earth and in hell. Every knee. God has authority over everything. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So let's just drill into today. If Jesus, and he is God, what's Paul saying? He's saying, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who did not count being in the, who was in the form of God, but didn't count equality with God as something to grasp. Literally what Paul is saying is what the angels were telling Mary and Joseph, and what the shepherds discovered, and what everyone who became an early follower of Jesus discovered, that Jesus isn't just incarnate in the flesh. Jesus is God. Equal. The form of God. You know, all of us in Genesis said we were created in the image of God, male and female. We were created in their image, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're created. Being created in image is different from being in the form of God. We are His creation. He is our creator. So what were they talking about around the manger? Whoa. What would it mean that He is God? What would it mean that He is Savior? What would it mean that He is Lord? What does it mean that He's my healer? You know, a couple big things take place. We begin to understand of His authority. But we also begin to understand His character. He's equal to God. He's God. But He doesn't count equality something to be grasped, which is a character thing. You know, where does our pride and all that get into? It's usually because we've got to build ourselves up, and we've got to do that by putting someone else down, or we've got to look at somebody differently in order for us to see ourselves more highly. You know, Jesus doesn't have an identity issue. He's equal with God, but doesn't count equality as something to be grasped. He's so comfortable in who He is as God that He can become flesh like us. You know, I look at that and go, that's a demotion. But God looks at it as that's a promotion. For a moment, I get to be the creation as the creator. Get your mind around that one. See, I want to get to know Him because it's so simple, but yet so complex. You know, as we dive in and get to know Him, there's some things we're going to learn. Because being God, that means He's your healer. I mean, imagine when Mary watched Jesus heal people. Imagine when Mary watched Him walk across water. Imagine disciples following along and seeing Him heal those with leprosy, with diseases of the day, or feed thousands of people with just a little bit of food. He's God. He's a healer. Look what the centurion discovered when he got to know Jesus. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, it says, Lord, I'm not worthy to have You come under my roof. I understand You are perfect and You are holy. You are God. Lord means You are over me. But only say the word, and my servant will be healed. In Psalm 107, 19, it says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Do you know Jesus as your healer? If you don't, invest in this relationship. Now, I don't begin to understand all the ways God heals. I just know God heals. And God asks us to pray for healing, to gather together those who know God and pray over people for healing. We had a fellow come to our food pantry that serves 30, 40 families a week. And he came in and he received the food, and he said, I've got cancer and I'm going to go into under surgery. And the group gathered around and they prayed over him. See, we're not about at CDK just crisis, like food crisis or issues in marriage, because there's a bigger crisis. And the bigger crisis is people not knowing Jesus. We're called on the face of this earth as we exist as a church to care for the needs of people. But the biggest need we need to care for is their salvation need. Only the Church of Jesus Christ is taking care of that. So it's always bigger than just what we offer someone for their physical bodies. It's what we offer some for their eternity, for their spiritual life. And so the group gathers around as they should, and it was beautiful. And with their masks on and everything, they lay hands on him and they pray over him. A few weeks later, he comes back to the pantry. He's kind of like the leper coming back to Jesus, and he's leaping for joy, and he says, I'm free. I had the surgery, and I'm free of the cancer. Praise God. Amen? Give God some encouragement. He doesn't need it, but we need it. I don't know how that happened, and I don't need to know, because he's God, and I'm obedient to say, God, would you heal me? I don't know if you want to heal me in heaven or you want to heal me on earth. There's a whole lot of people this year that have died of COVID and have died of many things. They didn't get healed on earth, but I pray they knew Jesus so they could be healed in heaven. Do you know him in your marriage? Do you know him in your family? Do you know him with your kids? Do you know him in your friendships? Do you know him in your brokenness? Maybe when you know him, you'll invite him in to heal you. Whatever is broken in here, he's the healer because he's God. Just sit with him this Christmas. Maybe you and the other person that is broken with you, kneeling before Jesus and having your first prayer together. Let him heal you. You'll get to know him. He's your creator. Think about the breath you're taking right now. You weren't even thinking about it till I just said it. God gave you that breath. And he'll decide when he takes it away. No one else should do it. The talent you have, the earnings you make, the gifts you have in society to make a difference, it's all from him. The money you have in the bank, the shoes you're wearing, everything is from God. Every resource the earth has ever known has come from him. Nothing is made that isn't already from him. He created it all. We just change its portions. We take the chemicals. We take the iron or whatever. But it all comes from him. And when you get down and you kneel, and maybe Mary and Joseph looked at one another and said, whoa, this baby made us. Now, that'll rock your world, won't it? Because he was before us. He was the creator of the universe. And now we're caring for him as humbleness. But it understands him as creator. And we begin to think more, whoa, maybe, just maybe, if I know him, I'll honor him and live for him more. He's your forgiver. As you get near him, you begin to understand the depth of his love and forgiveness for you. And that forgiveness brings healing. In Mark 2, it goes this way. Mark 2, verse 10 says, But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. I always find it interesting in the scriptures that Jesus always equates forgiveness and healing in the same language. That's why in the Bible that they say, let the righteous gather among you. Confess your sins to one another so that you may be forgiven? No. It says confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. You see, if we're ever going to move past a broken world or even broken relationships, then forgiveness is the key. Forgiveness starts in motion, healing. And Jesus is the chief healer. So we come to him and he heals us, and we're allowed to go to one another and provide that forgiveness and healing one another. That's why it sits right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive one another as I have forgiven you. Forgiveness and healing. You'll learn that as you invest in this relationship. Eternal life. Well, we thought a lot about life and death this year. And you might say, I've escaped COVID. If I got COVID, I don't know how, you know, the crazy thing about COVID, I don't know how I'll respond to it if I had it. I don't know if I'm one that will die or live. That's the crazy thing about COVID. Yeah, there's samplings that these people are more at risk than other people, but we've seen along the line, we don't really know. But one thing we do know, that everybody breathing on the face of the earth will die of something. Someday. And the thing that breaks my heart is, do they know this Jesus? John 8, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. What he says to Mary and Martha in John 11, he says, I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me, what? Never die. He says again in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. And because my sheep hear my voice, they are mine, and nothing will snatch them out of my hand. Nothing. Hear that? Nothing will snatch them out of my hand. And I will give them eternal life, for they will be with me forever. See, God left the throne room of heaven because he loves you. And he entered your sin pandemic to save you. And I often tell people, spend your time on earth getting to know the one you'll spend eternity with. We get an opportunity. And the more we get to know him, the more we live for him. In John 1:1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was the light of men. He is our light. As you get to know him, he begins to illuminate. You know, one of the signs I've seen in people who give their life to Jesus Christ is their attitude and their character changes. That's a visible sign. Is they begin to think differently. They begin to look at the lives of other people differently. Their Facebook posts change. That's a good way to know. They begin to think about their character, their integrity. That's what you're doing when nobody sees you. Begins to be higher. Because Jesus Christ comes in light, he illuminates your life. You begin to see the world the way that Jesus sees the world. You begin to have the compassion and love. You begin to love God and love your neighbor and yourself in your life change. That's because you've spent time with Jesus. If he's just the manger and you're clicking and going, he's your Black Friday sale, then nothing's changed. And the relationships still surface. But what we've learned this year in a simple Christmas is to invest here. Because he sustains all of the relationships. He's our race. You know, we've had lots of issues with racism this year. It just keeps bubbling up. We just can't seem to get it right. And I look at this manger, this Jewish baby in the flesh. Is he my race? Or did he come for somebody else? He come to me because I'm white or I'm black or I'm brown or I'm red, what? Because I'm from this country or that country? He's God. In Acts 17, it says, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth. When Jesus is God in your life, there is no race. You're children of God. There's no racism in God. We're children of God. And as we spend time with him, that begins to be a part of us, and we live in the world differently. And we become ambassadors to a new truth and light and healing and eternity that God gives. As you spend time with him, he becomes your hope of glory. There's been a lot of hopelessness this year. Maybe you're sitting here today, you're watching online, and you're feeling hopeless. Maybe you lost the job. Maybe the relationship seems far from ever being good. Are you just trapped and stretched in ways that you don't know if you can go another day? I get those days. And I kneel down, and I have a conversation with God. You're the hope. I can't do it. I can't in my flesh keep doing what I'm doing. Will you help me? And he will come in, and he will make his home in your heart. And he will move you to hope that is immeasurable. Because that's why he came. But we have a choice. In the Gospel of John, he writes in 1 John, he says, Jesus came into the world, but the world did not receive him. He came to his own people, but his own people did not accept him. You have that choice. I don't think it's a good choice because I know Jesus is God, and I know my flesh is going to decay, and I know that I am broken, and I know that I have a pandemic far worse than COVID. I have sin. But he also says in John 1, but to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You see, Jesus makes a transfer. God makes a transfer in my life. Everybody in the world gets flesh and blood birth. But when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we get a spiritual birth. And that makes us children of God. That makes us under his healing power. That makes us one with him. That makes us have an eternal life. That makes us forgiven under the judgment of a God who's perfect. That gives us purpose. That's my choice. And I pray today it'll be yours. And when I choose to have God as the Lord of my life, then I want to get to know him and let him change me. What about you? There's a neat song, and I want you to go home today when you study your notes and you dive into the study notes for the week. Those are there for you to go deeper in this. Called Mary, Did You Know? Written by Mark Lowry. Wrote it as a poem years and years ago. And he was wondering in awe. I think he probably had one of those moments by which he's kneeling by the manger and going, what were Mary and Joseph thinking about? And he writes this poem, Mary, did you know that this baby in the manger would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that the baby that you delivered would someday deliver you? Mary, did you know that when you kiss the face of your child, you are kissing God? It makes the hair stand on the back of my neck. What would they have been talking about this Christmas? What will you talk about? Will you talk about this relationship? He's your God. He's your healer. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. Let's pray. God, we come to you as fragile people. We come to you with so many agendas and things that clutter our minds. And sometimes you're hidden in the shadows. Yet you're the light of the world. Father, this Christmas, may it be as simple as COVID has made us in our relationships. May we see more clearly you in this manger and desire to spend time with you, to gather around with our spouses, our family, our friends, and kneel before this manger and just have conversation. There's nothing your heart loves more than to hear from our heart. You want to hear our voice. You want to be with us. So, Father, I pray for those today that have not asked you to be the Lord of their life, that you're knocking on that door, and through the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll open their lives to say, Lord, I want you to come in, and I want your home to be in me. I want your joy to fill me. I want the forgiveness that you have. I want the healing that you offer. And I want to live with you forever. Thank you for coming to me. Father, we pray over our world, and we pray during this time where it is difficult and we struggle, that you will indeed be the Prince of Peace, and you will reign, and we will see your glory. Father, we love you. For those of you who made a decision, you said, I want you to be, you made the best decision in your life. You just invested in the most important relationship that you could ever invest in. Your next step is to find somebody that you know that is Christian and we will help you in this church, and you build a relationship, and you ask them, would you help disciple me so I may follow Jesus all of my days? We're here to help you. Let us know. On a side note, I want to encourage all of you. Communication in COVID time is not easy. We send out e-news and things every single week. I send out letters to the congregation every other week about great things and things that are going on, what God's doing. But I often hear back from people, I don't know what's going on with Act to Thrive. When are we building? When are the contractors coming in? What's going on with the food pantry? What's happening? But believe me, we're sending out all of this information. And I want you to ask a question, because this is from the bottom of my heart. We want you to know everything that's going on here that you want to know. And we're sending it out. So I ask you, if you're not getting information, ask yourself why. Am I checking my clutter? Am I on the email list? Does the church have my email? Do they have the information? Who do I need to contact? Because I want you desperately to know God is doing amazing things, and I don't want you to miss it. So help us. We can only send it out. Only you can receive it. But jump in there. Pastor Bill, share us a few more things that are going on in our offering, what's happening.
Thank you, Pastor Craig. And as Pastor Craig wrapped up, just that reminder that I had a professor once says that God moved into our neighborhood. That's what the incarnation is about, is God becoming flesh. And that's such an important reminder this time of the year, that God moves in our neighborhood and wants to get to know us. And as we move into a time of worship through our offering, remember, our offering is just not financial. It's our prayer, our time, and our finances that we turn over to God. And as a reminder, we want you to be praying for the ministries here and sharing the ministries here and spending time in them. And as you prepare to give, remember, you can give online. You can always send a check in. Or if you're here in worship, as you exit, please, you can drop off a check in the offering basket on the way out. But as Pastor Craig talked about, one of our special ministries we have is the food pantry. The food pantry brings food every Wednesday evening to 30 to 40 families in our neighborhoods, and we provide dry goods. And as he talked about in the sermon a couple weeks ago, how that gentleman came in and just desperately wanting prayers, just not food, but prayers. And the team went around his car and prayed for healing in his life. And he was so appreciative when he came back. He was healed. He was healed, and that's part of the ministry. That's the part of the prayer and the time spent and the finances. And that is what we do. That's what God's Holy Spirit is moving in. In fact, another way to support the food pantry is that we're going to have a food drive starting Sunday, December 13th. Is please bring in your canned or dry foods. Bring them in here. We'll collect them to be able to distribute to our community. Or you can bring them on Saturday, December 19th. That's going to be the really exciting day, because Saturday, December 19th is our Christmas festival. We're going to have an amazing Christmas festival outside with hay rides and hot chocolate and s'mores and fire pits and some activities for kids and families. We want you to be able to be here for that. That's 3 to 5, and we also need your help. We need your prayer for it. Invite your friends, but we also need your help. If you could sign up to maybe help with that activity, go to our ctkcharlotte.org website and sign up to be able to help, as we need and could use the support in so many different areas. And also, as a reminder, on Christmas Eve, which is coming up, December 24th, that Thursday, is 5 and 7 o'clock. We have worship here. And we're going to have it live. We're going to have it online. But we want to encourage you to invite your friends and your neighbors to worship, to see and continue that story of God moving in our neighborhood. When you exit here today, you're going to be given several brochures and flyers. Deliver them to your neighbors and your friends. And there's a QR code on there to be able to watch it live also. So we want to encourage you to be able to do that. And finally, we have a pastor's chat. You saw the wonderful new members join us. And if you would like some more information about what it means to be a member here, just talk to Pastor Craig on December 14th at 6 and 7:15 p.m. We're going to have a live pastor chat at 6 o'clock and a Zoom one at 7:15. This is time to answer your questions, ask what's going on. And if you go to the website, ctkcharlotte.org, you could register there and get the Zoom link. We're so excited. We're so excited for what's going on, what God is doing here, what God and the Holy Spirit is doing here. And as you go out today, remember to take God with you, not just here, but God has moved into our neighborhood and moved into our lives. And we're excited for the rest of that story. Have a great week, and we'll see you then.